From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Ray Suarez, and this is On Point. An 8-minute speech Sunday night set off a whole week of speculation. Will she do it? The she is Oprah Winfrey, media titan, philanthropist, one of the most prominent African Americans in the U.S. The it? The highest office in the land, the presidency, in 2020. 3 years ago, the idea of a celebrity with no political experience mounting a credible presidential campaign might have been laughable, dismissed. Then came 2016, the election of Donald Trump. Could we do it again? Should we? This hour on Point, President Oprah and celebrity candidate culture. You can join us on air or online. Did you watch Oprah's Golden Globe speech? Did she seem presidential? Join us anytime on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. If you didn't watch Oprah's speech, you'll find it at our website, onpointradio.org. Joining me now from NPR West in Culver City, California, is Angela Rye, a Democratic strategist and CNN political commentator. She's the former executive director and general counsel to the Congressional Black Caucus. She's now the principal and CEO of Impact Strategies, a political advocacy firm. Angela Rye, welcome to On Point.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
And with me from Leesburg, Virginia, is Sophia Nelson, a journalist and MSNBC political analyst, a Republican, former House Committee Counsel. She is the author of the 2011 book, Black Woman Redefined, Dispelling Myths and Discovering Fulfillment in the Age of Michelle Obama. And last year's E Pluribus One, Reclaiming Our Founders' Vision for a United America. Sophia Nelson, welcome to On Point.
Thank you for having me.
Angela Rye, when you saw this Oprah boomlet gathering force, is this something that's plausible? Is this something that should be taken seriously as a conversation, whether she really intends to run or not?
I think it should be taken as it's early. Like, we're not even at the midterm mark yet. And what I will say I think is very, very important right now is that people are given other heroes, other folks to look up to, other folks that they can hope for as we near the 2020 elections. I think what you're seeing is that, as Sarah Palin described it in the 2008 election, the hopey, changey stuff actually really makes people feel kind of good. And we don't like kind of the disaster that's in the White House right now. I think every day it gets worse, and every day we need something better, more hopeful, more amazing to believe in than what we currently have.
Sophia Nelson, a feel-good moment, whether she really intends to ever run or not?
Look, everybody loves Oprah. Who doesn't love Oprah? So, of course, it's a feel-good moment. Her speech at the Golden Globes was amazing. And I think we missed the mark, though, a little bit. I think that she was talking to us and telling us to rise up, telling we the people to do better, telling us to call things out that aren't who we want to be and where we want to go as a country to protect journalism and the free press. So I'm not sure she's running. I think that it's flattering. I think that it's a moment, but I'm just not sure she's running. I think we'll have to stay tuned.
Everybody talks about that Golden Globe speech. We should hear a little of it. During the speech on Sunday, Oprah Winfrey defended the importance of her career as a longtime television talk show host.
In my career, what I've always tried my best to do, whether on television or through film, is to say something about how men and women really behave, to say how we experience shame, how we love and how we rage, how we fail, how we retreat, persevere, and how we overcome. I've interviewed and portrayed people who've withstood some of the ugliest things life can throw at you. But the one quality all of them seem to share is an ability to maintain hope for a brighter morning, even during our darkest nights.
Oprah Winfrey last Sunday night. Sophia Nelson, you began by saying that everybody loves Oprah. But once you become a political candidate, Does the love start to drain out of the balloon? Do immediately you cleave the electorate, cleave the population once you say, that's it. I'm no longer this person who comes into your home and brings a variety of subjects to you, but now I'm a person who's a politician.
Well, I think there are a couple things. One, Oprah has such a universal name recognition and brand that there's really no one else like her. I mean, Donald Trump certainly had a similar brand and recognition around the globe, but hers is very positive. So I think that the moment Oprah threw her hat in, I think that initially we met with a lot of positivity. I don't know that her negatives would spike up immediately, but I reflected back on a couple decades ago, if you recall, when Oprah was sued, remember by the cattle farmers, and remember the whole issue of the beef and how she had to go to court, and she talked about how ugly that was for her and how her late mentor, Maya Angelou, had to comfort her and talk to her and tell her to snap out of it. She said she was really taken aback by the ugliness of that trial and of that whole situation. And I thought to myself, wow, Oprah, if you were struggling with that, you ain't seen nothing about what they'll do to you in the political arena. And I think all we have to do is look at Hillary Clinton and how she was treated. Let's be honest, she was the most qualified candidate last time, hands down. I'm a Republican. I voted for her. And I think that she was probably the most qualified candidate in 08 in the primaries, and she still lost. So I think that we have gender issues. I think that we're not there yet, but I do think that Oprah will have to think seriously about the cost of this if she does it.
I think the cattle story is a perfect encapsulation of how somebody can be taken out of the zone where they kind of live in our heads. And once they're recontextualized, put somewhere else, it can be problematic. This was the aftermath of the mad cow disease scare. And the beef producers, in response to Oprah on her show saying that she wasn't going to eat any more hamburgers, was suddenly called on the carpet. It was an amazing time. Angela Rye, are there risks that we're not even thinking about or talking about when we daydream about President Oprah?
I'm sure. I think that, you know, every single election cycle, whether we're talking about, you know, local elections all the way up to the presidential election, there are always surprises that, you know, come out of the hat, whether it's Trump's Russian dossier or, you know, the fact that Hillary Clinton is apparently still running for office. Surprise, the election's over, and yet they're still talking about investigations of emails and the Clinton Foundation. So, yes, absolutely. There is no bottom floor for what people can experience when they're running for office. You think about the theory of groundlessness, there is truly no bottom. There's no no depths that people won't plunge to try to drag a human being down in an election process. And the only thing that I would say to push back a little bit on this is I think that we are woefully underestimating what Oprah Winfrey can handle when we think about everything she's been through as a human being, from being exposed to and experiencing sexual assault herself, to whatever she had to go through to stand up her own network, the Oprah Winfrey Network, actually, after having had the highest rated talk show, right? So this is someone who has experienced the ugliness of humanity as well as the most beautiful aspects of humanity. And so even though it will be in a different space, I'm willing to bet really good money, and I'm not a betting woman, but I'm willing to bet really good money that she experienced some severe ugliness when she became the first Black woman to stand up her own television network.
As people start to talk about the plausibility of this amongst themselves, one person who took the question seriously was the President of the United States, who seems never to have an opinion that he isn't willing to talk about. After Tuesday's meeting with congressional leaders about immigration, a reporter asked President Trump if he thought he could win if Oprah ran for president in 2020.
Yeah, Oprah would be a lot of fun. I know her very well. You know, I did one of her last shows. She had Donald Trump, this is before politics, her last week. And she had Donald Trump, and my family is very nice. No, I like Oprah. I don't think she's going to run.
Sophia Nelson, do you share Donald Trump's confidence?
Well, again, I'm agree with what Angela said early out, which is it's just too early yet. But I do think that the President of the United States would take Oprah seriously. He'd have to because, again, he cut the template by which we're now discussing. And so I think he takes her seriously. I think that it strikes terror in the hearts of Republicans. I've talked to many who think that if she could get past the Democrat primaries, you put Oprah and Trump head-to-head, I know who I'm voting for. Again, as a Republican, I'm not voting for Trump, even though I'm not thrilled about an Oprah candidacy. And I really think the reason I want to talk about this is because it seems to me that we're headed, Ray, into lazy democracy. That's what I'm going to call it, where we want Kim Kardashian, we want Kanye West, we want The Rock, we want Oprah, and we want all these celebrities to be our president. But do we really, after what we've seen for the past year? The past year has been horrible for America. It's been horrible for democracy. It's been horrible for the Republic. And I just don't even know if I'm in the mood for three more years of Donald Trump, but he's what we got right now.
Well,
and,
Sophia, did Donald Trump make the Oprah conversation plausible? And, and not only Oprah, but Mark Zuckerberg and Mark Cuban and The Rock and on and on and on.
Absolutely, but it gets back to what's wrong with us, and that we, the people, better figure out a different plan, because if what we're doing now is having unqualified, inexperienced celebrities run our country, I think we're in a lot of trouble, and I don't think people in the political establishment, by the way, all politicians aren't bad, all politicians aren't greedy, many of them are hardworking, good public servants, and I think we'd be a lot better off in the hands of some people like Kamala Harris, Condoleezza Rice, John Kasich, I could keep ticking off names, Andrew Cuomo. Those people are qualified to be president.
Dirty Dubs writes on our website, please, with all due respect to Oprah, no more celebrities for president. We actually need people who are qualified for the job. Olga writes on Facebook, I will vote for Oprah if she runs against the current POTUS in 2020 in a heartbeat. You did not want a qualified person, America, right? Clinton was very qualified. Well, at least Oprah... with her, we'll get someone who has decency, smarts, thoughtfulness, and a willingness to learn, for goodness sake. And Catherine writes, enough with this, a shameless attempt at ratings. However, she could run for Congress first. With the mess Trump will leave for the next person, that person will need to be an Angela Merkel to get our government running again, or a Kamala Harris. So many incredibly qualified people exist. Guests, stay with us. We're discussing Oprah Winfrey, her Golden Globe speech, and her calls to run for president in 2020, or not run. I'm Ray Suarez. This is On Point.
I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
I'm Cardiff Garcia.
And we are here with a new show.
The Indicator from Planet Money.
On every show, we take some number in the news, and we dive into it to find the big idea behind it.
Get it on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is On Point. I'm Ray Suarez. We're talking about the speculation, the chatter, some of it fanciful, some of it serious, surrounding Oprah Winfrey running for president in 2020 after her powerful speech at Sunday's Golden Globes. You can join the conversation. Would a total lack of political experience help or hurt someone like Oprah? What could veteran politicos learn from someone like her? On Tuesday, CBS This Morning anchor Gail King, who's Oprah Winfrey's best friend, said she doesn't think Oprah will run for president.
You know, I was up talking to her very late last night. I do think this, though, guys. I do think she's intrigued by the idea. I do think that. I also know that after years of watching The Oprah Show, you always have the right to change your mind. I don't think at this point she is actually considering it.
I'm talking with political strategist, analyst, and commentator Angela Rye, and author, journalist, and political analyst Sophia Nelson. And now from Miami, Florida, Hedma joins us. Hedma, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Ray.
Hi.
How are you?
Okay.
So my comment is more towards, I feel like the conversation really just needs to be more focused towards what position we're talking about. We're talking about the highest position in the land with no experience. What we've gotten now is what we have, and a lot of people aren't happy to begin with. And so I think that the conversation needs to be shifted specifically in terms of generational, where the millennials aren't talking about anything congressional, in my opinion. I'm a millennial. I'm 25 years old, born and raised in Miami, and I don't hear anybody talking about who's running for Congress, what it actually means, and how those are the people that actually make an impact. Celebrities, in my opinion, it's great that they're getting involved. It's great that they're talking about things because they're getting the popular culture to talk about things. But I don't think that they're going at it in the right manner. I feel like we need to your second commentator made a comment about lazy democracy. And I 100% agree with that term. And I think I'm going to use that from now on. It really comes down to where it actually matters and where you gain the experience.
Well, Hedma, if you're living in Florida and your friends are millennials and you're not all wound up about Bill Nelson running for re-election next year, Does having the possibility of someone as famous and charismatic as Oprah be involved in politics maybe catch people's attention in a way that your veteran U.S. senator does not?
Oh, absolutely. I 100%. I do believe that. But I think that's where, like, in Congress is where you're going to learn the experience and where you're going to learn a little bit more than what you think you can just listen to and get briefed on. We've seen how somebody that comes in from the pop culture sector is taking the information that he's getting and not really digesting it, not really even thinking that he should digest it because he thinks that he's a genius. So those are things that I think in terms of conversations, we need to start maybe having more. The press needs to maybe put a little more focus on Congress instead of pushing this idea that Oprah should run for president. Maybe Oprah should run for Congress and make a difference there.
Hedma calling from Miami, Florida. We'll go next to Boston, Massachusetts. Anna, welcome to the program.
Hi, Ray.
Hi.
Thanks for having me. So I kind of have the opinion that I think having celebrities filling positions that are typically filled by politicians can be problematic because it's reducing the accessibility to these positions. And if we're setting a precedent that you have to be famous and widely known and, like, have a TV show in order to run for president, it's going to deter people who actually want to make a difference and actually want to go into politics from trying to fill these positions.
Angela Rye, what do you think of that?
I think that's a really interesting comment. I think that I definitely appreciate the idea that there are certain spaces in this country, certain industries that are reserved for elitists. And I just think that we are running into a very dangerous space when we basically make synonymous Oprah and Donald Trump. I mean, they are two human beings that have billionaire status, very, very close to each other in terms of overall net worth. And I think that's pretty much where the similarities, you know, end. I mean, yeah. To say that, you know, Oprah would come in and she's not going to listen to anyone because she's a celebrity, that means that everything, all the work that she's done over the past several decades is some fake person. Like, that's not who she really is. And I don't know her well, but that is not my impression of her. When I see Oprah, I see someone who is hungry to learn and eager to apply the knowledge that she's gained to make a difference. She is the most philanthropic person in her billionaire class. She is someone who has made information tangible and accessible to people all over the world. She started a school in South Africa to help girls learn. And so I just don't embrace the fact that she represents something, as Sophia called it, lazy democracy. There's nothing lazy about this woman. There's nothing lazy about us saying we need to make a shift, a tremendous shift from where we are, because we have someone right now in the midst of all of his typos and his anger and his narcissism that is trying to get us in what appears to be World War III over Twitter. You know, and I just think that we need a sharp change. You're asking what Oprah could do in the highest office of the land, and maybe she should run for Congress. I would push back on that. And the reason why I would push back is because I know a lot of members of Congress, and I know a lot of them that she would run circles around.
Let's go back to Sunday night's speech, because here was a moment where she used, millions of eyes were on her. She's getting a Lifetime Achievement Award. In effect, an attagirl for everything that she's done over a long career, and uses that moment to speak to our civic selves. She thanked the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, who presents the awards, and said the press is currently under siege.
It is the insatiable dedication to uncovering the absolute truth that keeps us from turning a blind eye to corruption and to injustice. To tyrants and victims and secrets and lies. I want to say that I value the press more than ever before as we try to navigate these complicated times, which brings me to this. What I know for sure is that speaking your truth is the most powerful tool we all have.
Sophia Nelson, you heard Angela Rye talking about how it's almost unfair to compare Oprah Winfrey to Donald Trump. Hedma was a little upset, was joining with you on the lazy democracy idea, but Angela Rye was pushing back against it. What do you think?
Well, a couple things. One, let's deal with this. Let's be really focused about a couple things. Is Oprah qualified to be president of the United States? Well, the Constitution says she is. She's reached the age of 35. She's been a resident of California for 14 years, and she's a naturalized born citizen of the United States of America. That's it, by the way, people. That's all the Constitution requires for you to run for president of the United States. So is she qualified? Yes, so am I. I don't know if Angela's 35 yet, but Angela is too if she is.
38.
So, okay. There you go. So both Angela and I are qualified to be president, too. But
Sophia, hey, what am I, chopped liver?
I was making a point because we're talking about
okay.
a black woman.
Fair enough.
Category.
Raise a black woman right now.
Okay. Right, exactly. So what I'm saying is I hear what Angela's saying, and I get it. I hear what she's saying. And for me, I'm saying something a little different, which is I think I'd like to see Oprah run for governor of California, not Congress. Congress is not something Oprah should do. She would not thrive there. Governor of California, she'd be great. Ronald Reagan ran for governor of California, and then he became president. If Oprah runs for governor of California and wins and then wants to be president, Sophia's going to be the first volunteer for her campaign. So the point I'm making is I would just like her to have some experience under her belt. Yes, she's a global philanthropist. Yes, she's amazing. Yes, she's run businesses. But we've seen right now what we have in the Oval Office, and Angela, we agree, Oprah's temperament is nothing like Trump's. We totally agree. But it's the lack of experience at the highest level, being commander-in-chief of the biggest and greatest military on earth. I think you ought to have a little experience for that, and I don't think that's too much to ask. That's all I'm saying. That's my issue.
Sophia, I definitely understand what you're saying there, too. But even when we talk about the trajectory, governors don't have experience running the military. When you think about senators don't have experience running the military. The closest you might get is for someone that sits on an armed services committee, et cetera, but they don't have actual experience running the military. If you talk about maybe an attorney general or a secretary of state, maybe you're getting a little closer. So if we want to put a different qualification on it, which is you have to have served in an administration's cabinet, I think that's the closest you get to running those types of things. I think we have to really start asking ourselves, what really qualifies someone, right? Is it the ability to listen and actually hear? Is it the ability to learn? Is it to ensure that you put great people around you? We know that some of the greatest leaders of our time are those who get people who are smarter than them in the room and can hear from them and can defer to them in spaces where they don't know. So this has been a really profound conversation to me that's been going on for a minute, because I'm trying to turn on its head for me what I've typically said, you got to have this. You know, I remember when Barack Obama was running, my immediate thought when I first heard that this was a possibility was there's no way a black man could win this office. There's just no way. And there's no way that someone that's just a new senator. So then it just really comes down to how are we deciding who gets to fulfill this role, particularly now? You know, and that's just the question I would love to wrestle with. I know what we say we normally need, but why do we say that? Why? I think that's the question everyone should be asking ourselves, including Hegma. Why are we saying that? What qualifications are we saying are important, and why are we saying those specific offices matter and prepare you?
Let me bring in another constitutionally qualified person to this conversation. I trust that he is over 35. I know he's a native-born American. Larry Sabato, a political scientist, the founder of the Center for Politics at the University of Virginia. Professor, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Ray. I'm actually 65, so I'm overqualified.
All right, now.
But this is the perfect time for you to come in to the conversation, because Angela left us with, I guess, one of the core questions. Why are we having this conversation now? Why are people who wouldn't have even been taken seriously for a second actually talking as if they are possible and plausible future presidents?
Two words, Donald Trump, for two different reasons. The first is he broke a barrier, and I don't think the barrier will ever be reconstructed, the barrier that someone who runs for president, unless they've been a general in a major war, should have had some political and governmental experience. So you don't need that anymore. Maybe you should have it, but you don't need it in order to run. And second, Donald Trump as president. I think we all know that Democrats and many independents and even a few Republicans are desperately hoping that Donald Trump won't have a second term, and they want to start early, organizing early, fundraising early, get a good candidate in early if they can to make sure that it doesn't happen. Whether that will play out that way, we don't know.
Can the Oprah conversation change how we think of 2020, even if she doesn't run?
Well, certainly, because just as Trump opened the door to non-political celebrities, well-known, wealthy celebrities, Oprah is helping to reinforce that. And there are other celebrities who've been talking about it. You know, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. I don't think a day goes by that I don't get an email or a tweet from some Rock supporter who wants to know why I'm not mentioning him more.
We're going to fix that this hour.
You're going to fix it this hour? That's great. I'll cite that then in the future. And, you know, all kinds of other candidates have been thinking about it. Mark Cuban, for example. There have been many who are not involved in politics but do have the celebrity and the wealth necessary potentially to do what Trump did.
Let's go back to the phones. Fish Creek, Wisconsin is next. Gail, welcome to On Point.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I really don't think that Oprah would be running for president, and I don't think it would be really a good idea, because as watching her career through all these decades and knowing how she took an opportunity that came to her and she's used it personally, and it's been wonderful, and her brand and her product has been to do that idealism for all of her followers and everyone who has written books, if you know, it's all alternative. It's going to be like a more of a socialist democratic party without people realizing it if Oprah runs, which would be the complete opposite of what we're talking about today on your show with Trump, who is actually the worst of what capitalism can be. And Newt Gingrich pushed to get him in, and he has backers that people don't even know are out there working to get him in so that they can do a destruction to the government. So I don't think Oprah would really be in a place for that, because there may be a lot of people out there who are liberals and who are followers who have this dreamer idea in their heads where they're going to get free stuff if Oprah gets in, because it's the impression, the image, and the personal trek in the identity. I think it's idealistically what's going on now is the idealism and the emotionalism, and that's all a brand because that's what sells, emotionalism now. So
thanks.
I don't think she should run. I don't think she will run.
Gail, thanks a lot for your call. I wonder if Oprah Winfrey, as someone with no political track record, has to still worry about defending a track record as a public person. In 2012, the Dr. Oz show featured green coffee extract as an effective weight loss method. The guest on that show was later fined by the Federal Trade Commission for making deceptive and unsubstantiated claims about the product. Here's Dr. Mehmet Oz.
You may think magic is make-believe, but this little bean has scientists saying they found the magic weight loss cure for every body type. It's green coffee beans. And when turned into a supplement, this miracle pill can burn fat fast for anyone who wants to lose weight. This is very exciting, and it's breaking news.
2 years later, Dr. Oz defended his endorsement before a Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee hearing about consumer protection, although he said many of the products he talks about on his program, quote, don't have the scientific muster to present as fact. On her program, Oprah Winfrey has presented vaccine skeptics, people who are peddling quack cures for various ailments, bogus memoir authors who are later and embarrassingly found out to have made up their whole life backstory. Is this a public record that in the absence of a political track record, Oprah Winfrey would have to defend? Sophia Nelson?
Two things. One, of course, the moment you throw your hat into the political arena, everything's on the table. Everything you've ever said, supported, endorsed, who you slept with, who you didn't sleep with, it's all on the table. That's the bad news. But I think the bigger question that we're not talking about on this show, and I don't want us to leave before we do, is the fact that she's an African-American woman. And I do hope that we talk about that, but I'll let you finish asking your questions
Great.
To the other guests.
We're discussing the age of celebrity candidates after a week of speculation about Oprah Winfrey running for president. You can join the conversation. What does it say about us in 2018, the American people, when there are calls for Oprah to run, or Mark Zuckerberg, or The Rock, or George Clooney? I'm Ray Suarez. This is On Point.
Hey, this is Steve Inskeep with NPR News. Got a deal for you. Spend about 10 minutes with Up First, and you're ready for the day. You are informed for the day, connected for the rest of the day. Up First is the morning news podcast from NPR. One tap, and you've started the day informed. Find Up First on the NPR One app and wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is On Point. I'm Ray Suarez. We're talking about the possibility of Oprah Winfrey running for president in 2020. This passage from Sunday's Golden Globe speech had me thinking, well, why not use this in her inaugural address in January 2021? Oprah concluded with a message to young girls and women watching at home within the context of the Me Too and Time's Up movements addressing sexual harassment.
A new day is on the horizon. And when that new day finally dawns, it will be because of a lot of magnificent women, many of whom are right here in this room tonight, and some pretty phenomenal men fighting hard to make sure that they become the leaders who take us to the time when nobody ever has to say Me Too again. Thank you.
I'm talking this hour with political analysts Sophia Nelson and Angela Rye and University of Virginia political scientist Larry Sabato. And St. Petersburg, Florida is next. Eileen is with us at On Point. Welcome to the program, Eileen.
Hello, Ray. Thank you for taking my call. The conversation's been really invigorating, and I had an observation my husband and I discussed after the awards. If Oprah runs for president, and I for one hope that she does, she will have a trifecta if she runs as an independent. I would love to see her run as an independent because I personally think that our party system is broken, but she would be the first independent president of the United States, the first female president of the United States, and the first female African-American president of the United States. And my experience, I'm in my mid-50s, and I really appreciate Oprah Winfrey as a candidate because she is a self-made billionaire. This is a woman who started from nothing. Everybody knows her story. And she has taken herself to, you know, success in every endeavor that she's ever pursued. I have no doubt she would apply herself, her intellect, her common sense, which I think lacks a lot in the presidents of the United States, and she would do wonderful things for our country.
And that brings us back to the point that Sophia made just before the break, that she is a black woman and that must be taken into account. And Larry Sabato, even though the United States had 220 straight years of white guys, is there an Obama effect to any near future black candidate for national office that you must deal with the shadow of that first African-American presidency?
Well, I would think it would be a plus rather than a minus. He left office as a popular president, and looking back, he's even more popular. People compare prior incumbents to the current incumbent, so I don't think that would be a problem. I do have to say, I understand the sentiment about Oprah running as an independent, but that would nearly guarantee, in fact, I would say certainly guarantee a second term for Donald Trump. There is simply no way you could divide the anti-Trump vote into a large Oprah independent vote and a regular Democratic nominee vote and not give Trump a second term. So it's an interesting idea. You need to remember Michael Bloomberg seriously considered an independent bid for president in 2016, and the public and private polling showed him that, in fact, it would automatically elect Donald Trump, and that's the main reason why he didn't run.
Okay, so Angela Rye, Monday morning, the phone rings. It's the Winfrey Exploratory Committee, which is just incorporated in California. Impact Strategies, they got your name, they got your company. What do you do? How do you run an Oprah Winfrey campaign? What strengths do you capitalize on? What weaknesses do you try to minimize? What's the strategy?
I think first and foremost, we start dealing with the public messaging that's out there. I would immediately get folks who have a substantial amount of influence in the media space, talking heads, folks who are writers, to immediately combat this idea of a celebrity candidate not being qualified. I would start pulling folks like Jesse Ventura and Ronald Reagan and Al Franken, the most recently resigned senator, to demonstrate that celebrity doesn't automatically mean that you cannot run and you cannot win. I also think that while she's considering this, if, for example, the Exploratory Committee is saying we're just trying to really position her to understand that this is something she can do and should do, I would start taking her around the country for listening sessions and small salon dinners so she could hear the feedback from people who love her, who hate her, who are somewhere in between, who may like her but hate the idea of a celebrity candidate, so she can really get feedback. I think one of the things that Oprah is really strong at is receiving and listening and growing from what she hears. So I would want to take her on a listening tour and allow her to feel that energy to see if it directs her to the path of the presidency.
Would she have to be all in, or could she continue to make TV shows and movies and such? Is it compatible with starting that process that you're talking about?
I don't think that she could continue once the actual campaign season begins, which I think there are new reality is that it's going to begin very early. I think Democrats will know that having potential contenders that people are excited about going into 2018 is actually going to be a benefit to get people excited about going out to vote during the midterms. I don't think that Oprah would be able to continue to run her businesses and would have to set it aside, just like Democrats pushed very hard to ensure that that was the case for Donald Trump.
On Facebook, Gail writes, "Have we learned nothing from this last election? Celebrity is not the criteria for being president. We need experienced leaders, people who know the Constitution, their jobs, how it all works, or we end up with the kind of people heading our government now." Christine writes on Twitter, "I've got a hashtag Hopra she will run." People targeting her and saying no are afraid of strong women who speak their minds and tell the truth. And Chad writes, "Be glad that we're talking about Oprah and not Kim Kardashian possibly running for president. It could be worse. By the way, I'm a comedian running for governor of Tennessee in 2018. It's not a joke. I realize I have a snowball's chance in hell, but I'm trying to push my ideas forward." Baltimore.
Hey,
yeah, go ahead, Sophia.
I've got to chime in on this because I am incredibly shocked that we don't think the specter of race and gender matters. This past year has shown
Absolutely.
Us the ugliness of racism that still exists right down in Charlottesville, in my backyard, right where Larry is, the most ugly display of racism, of anti-Semitism, torches, a young woman murdered, the president couldn't get it right that it was wrong. And we've seen an underbelly since Donald Trump has been president of these United States that is frightening. The underbelly of racism, of classism, of gender, it's there. So to think that a black woman is going to step into this arena and her race and gender ain't going to matter is naive, and it is just not real. It matters, and it will matter, just like it did for Hillary Clinton, who was eminently qualified to be president of these United States, and 53% of white women didn't vote for her after the Entertainment Tonight tape came out and Trump was caught saying what he said about groping women. So I'm just saying.
Larry Sabato?
Well, hail Sophia, certainly. Speaking from Charlottesville, I know exactly what you're saying, and I agree with it. Of course it will be a factor, but you need to remember it'll be a plus, too, in some ways. You get a plus and a minus out of almost everything. But today we live in a very hyper-partisan time, and we're so polarized, but it also has an effect politically. It means that you're going to inherit, whoever you are, you're going to inherit 90% of the Democratic vote if you're the Democratic nominee. On the Republican side, look at Trump and how much Republican opposition he had. In the end, he got 90% of the Republican vote, which is why whether you like the two parties or not, if you want to win, you probably have to stay in that lane. And that's why I think Oprah would have to do that. As to whether there should be a boring, traditional political candidate, I'll admit that probably is my preference, but I'm at the age where I realize I'm not going to get any of my preferences. So I'm willing to accept alternatives.
Charlotte, Ray, North Carolina is next. Frank, welcome to the program. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Ray, how you doing?
Okay.
It's the first time ever calling in, so I've just been listening to NPR as I travel, and great show, by the way.
Thank you.
I had my comment is this, is that I've heard a couple of things here, one from, I think, a woman that's maybe local to where I live, saying that Oprah shouldn't run, and that something about her giving away free things and everything, and it's a different mindset. I think what people fail to realize is that Trump won not just on his Trump voters and his base, but he won because of his anti-establishment charisma, and people wanted to see something different. But also from people that I've spoken to, millennials that I've spoken to, because Bernie Sanders didn't win the popular vote and Hillary Clinton won, they didn't want to see Hillary Clinton win. And to be quite honest, some people told me their opinion was that they wanted to watch the world burn with Donald Trump. So if that's the case and millennials are upset, who's to say that Oprah, using her charismatic ways and the people that she knows, that she can't win the presidency by teaming up with people around her, surrounding herself with someone like a Bernie Sanders or someone that can bring about that millennial vote that she needs to possibly win? Also, I think you're underestimating the black female votes that came about to support Doug Jones' win in Alabama. So I really... should she run? I think she should. I think there's a good possibility that she could possibly win. Is it going to be tough? I believe it will. But I really think we're underestimating, we're overestimating experience and everything else that goes into it. Because if you can surround yourself with the necessary cabinet members and people that can help you make policies better for the American people, I think that's where it can start for her.
You know, Frank, you reminded us of that earlier caller who presented us both a self-made billionaire who we also would fear is a socialist. But as far as the free things go, you know, in 2004, one of the most famous moments in the history of Oprah's show, she gave everyone in the audience a small box and told them one of the boxes contained the keys to a brand new Pontiac.
This calls for a drum roll. Cue the drum roll. All right, open your boxes. Open your boxes. 1, 2, 3. You get a car! 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 Everybody gets a car!
Now, sadly, Pontiac doesn't exist anymore, but imagine the west front of the Capitol with a car key, set of car keys under everybody's seat as she takes the oath of office.
Pontiac. That's how old I am. It was. It was.
Can this conversation have a positive effect on how we as a people and as a country get ready for the next presidential election, even if it really never comes to pass, if there's no Oprah Winfrey candidacy? Is this conversation, on the whole, a good thing? Angela Rye?
I think it is. I think, again, going back to where we started today, Ray, it's so important for us to gut check why we go towards the ideas that we go towards about expectations and qualifications. One of the things that I saw on my Twitter feed today is Joe Kennedy. What about a Joe Kennedy ticket? Well, what experience does Joe Kennedy have other than he's a Kennedy? He's elected to Congress right now, but he's new. So some of this is about debunking our own expectations and what we say qualifies candidates.
Larry Sabato, same question.
I would say it's a good thing, particularly for Democrats and for the anti-Trump group, because in order to defeat an incumbent president, even a very controversial one like this one, you need to have a party operating on all cylinders. You have to start the campaign early. You have to start activists thinking about which potential candidate would be the best candidate. So I would say that it's positive for that reason, for the anti-Trump group at least.
And Sophia.
final word is I don't think she's running. I think that this is very positive that we're all talking about it, and I love anything that engages the American people at all levels to start talking about democracy in the Republican election. So I think Oprah, as always, will be a great inspiration to us, but I think this would change her life far too dramatically, as Angela pointed out, and I agree, about the movies and the OWN network, and she'd have to give up a lot to do this, and she'd have to be all in, and it would be a radical lifestyle change for someone who's peaceful, soulful, and kind and compassionate to have to go stand in the cold New Hampshire and Iowa and eat corn dogs and flapjacks, and it would change her whole life. Weight Watchers would be out.
One of the earliest endorsers of a national candidacy for Oprah was on Larry King in 1999. And here we heard about the possibility of Oprah as a national candidate.
Would she be some, I mean, kidding aside, that you might
If she'd do it, she'd be fantastic. I mean, she's popular, she's brilliant, she's a wonderful woman. I mean, if she'd ever do it, I don't know that she'd ever do it. She's got,
you'd ask her.
She'd be sort of like me. I mean, I have a lot of things going, she's got a lot of things going.
What a ticket
in terms
that would be.
That would be a pretty good ticket.
Of course, that's Donald John Trump speaking to Larry King in 1999, talking about the possibility of Vice President Oprah. I mean, yes, in the last week he said he'd beat her in 2020, but he, at the time, a future president himself, didn't think it was the most implausible thing in the world. Rita writes, love her, but Oprah brought us Dr. Phil, Dr. Oz, and anti-vaxxers. She should not run, except maybe for Lindsey Graham's seat. Anne Marie writes, whether she intends to run or not, Oprah has stirred Americans into the conversation about elections. We need everyone considering a role in public service. It's time, across the board, local, state, federal. And Derek writes, at least with Winfrey, you get a car. And you get a car, and everybody gets a car. And Ozier writes, whatever happened to the common man and common woman? Do we really only want the wealthy and notable having access to the highest office in the land? Larry Sabato, political scientist, professor, and founder and director of the Center for Politics at the University of Virginia. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Sophia Nelson, author, journalist, MSNBC political analyst. Great to talk to you.
Thank you.
And Angela Rye, Democratic political strategist and CNN analyst. Great to talk to you again.
Thank you so much.
You can continue the conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. And you can follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. Coming up tomorrow, we take a peek at the new gadgets on display at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, anti-theft purses, forever batteries, and more. Be with us then. I'm Ray Suarez. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR.